BB's Book Reviews. Benjamin Breckinridge Warfield loved books. He, as you know, was a professor at Princeton Theological Seminary, and his home was right there on the campus. Princeton at this time was a fairly tight campus, not many buildings. Of course, there was the chapel, Miller Chapel. There was Alexander Hall, and this is where the students would live, and they even would eat there. And there were some classrooms in that building. On either side of Alexander Hall were these very stately homes, the Hodge home and the Warfield home, and that is where Warfield lived, and that was very much Warfield's world. In his home on the first floor, he had his study. I was in that room at one time. It is a very impressive room, very high ceilings, probably 12 feet, 14 feet maybe or so ceilings, and it is floor-to-ceiling bookshelves and wall-to-wall bookshelves. The bookshelves are contoured around the door and contoured around the windows. And when Warfield occupied that house, those bookshelves were chock full of books. In fact, he had so many books that they wouldn't fit on those shelves. And any picture of him in his study, you just see stacks of books on the floor, stacks of books on the desk. Warfield was surrounded by books, loved books, read books, engaged books. And of course, he wrote many books of his own. In his will, he left it that the folks there at Princeton, the fellow colleagues on the faculty, would publish his unpublished or collected writings. And so we have this wonderful 10-volume set of the works of Warfield. And the 10th volume is a collection of his book reviews. Over the course of his time as a professor, he wrote many book reviews for the Presbyterian and Reformed Review and also for the Princeton Theological Review. I thought we'd just take a sneak peek into one of those, and this was a review on a book entitled Revelation and Inspiration by Dr. Reinhold Seeberg. It was published by Harper in 1909. Warfield begins his review by telling us that Professor Seeberg is one of the leaders of that school of recent German thought, the object of whose research is, quote, a modern positive theology. Warfield explains to us what that means. This modern positive theology means to modernize the historical faith of the church. In other words, we are now in the 20th century, back in that first decade of the 1900s. We need to bring this ancient faith from a pre-scientific era, we need to bring it into the 20th century. And Seeberg's book was looking at one doctrine in particular, the doctrine of revelation and the doctrine of inspiration. Warfield continues in his review to say the task which Professor Seeberg has set before himself is not a new one. It is rather a task which everyone who has not liked the old doctrine, and Warfield put that in quotes, the old doctrine of revelation and inspiration has set before himself for the last 100 years. The kernel and the husk has been the watchword of a century's criticism and reconstruction of Christian doctrine. What does Warfield mean by this expression, kernel and the husk? He means that this view argued that the Bible, the 66 books that we have of the Bible, is like a husk of corn. It contains not the words of God. In fact, it contains many words of men. But somewhere nestled inside all of that husk is the kernel. Somewhere in all of those words of men and man's telling of his religious experience is the kernel of eternal truth. And so through biblical scholarship, theologians, this century of this project of trying to modernize Christianity was trying to locate the kernel. Well, you can imagine what Warfield thinks of this book. Not much is the answer. And when he gets to the very end of his review, he says this, Christianity is neither a mere philosophy nor an empty illusion. It is objectively real and subjectively operative and finds its rooting both in its inspired record and in its spiritual efficacy. I'm Steve Nichols. Thanks for joining us for 5 minutes in Church History. We have a moment for a bonus quote, and this one comes from Richard Sibbes in his book, The Bruised Reed. We are weak, but we are his. We are deformed, but yet carry his image upon us. A father looks not so much at the blemishes of his child as his own nature in him. So Christ finds matter of love from that which is his own in us. Christ sees his own nature in us.